What up, this is your boy DJ EFN. You might know me as a drink champ, but first and foremost, I'm a proud father. I linked up with two of my other dad homies, Manny Digital and KGB, to start the Fatherhoods podcast. Each week, we bring you insider hip-hop stories, parenting, and advice and therapy. The saying is true, it takes a village, and we humorously serve as each other's trusted counsel in figuring out how not to screw up being a good dad.
The Fatherhoods Podcast. Beats, rhymes, and diapers.
Yo, Fatherhoods fam, when you're out and about with your baby and they start wilding out, what do you do? Most dudes are fumbling through the traditional baby bag their lady prepped for them, trying to find that one thing that will calm the kid down. That doesn't have to be your life. Dig no more. The firstborn diaper backpack from Fly Dad has over 21 compartments to have everything right where you need it to be for you and your baby, and keeping you fly through the process. Get $20 off when you visit flydadgear.com/fatherhoods.
Welcome back. You got all the fatherhoods present today.
We made it.
Yeah, we did, which is has been tough over the summer, but we made it work today. Yep. We're with a dope guest. We've been going back and forth for a little bit trying to make this happen. We finally made it happen. Let's not even hold back. Like, yo, so with us today is the founder of allhiphop.com, Greg Grouchy Watkins. What up, Greg?
What's up, y'all? Thank you very much for having me on. Apologize for the rigmarole. I know it's not like I'm Jay-Z or anything, you know. But the kids being off school.
That's what it is, though.
Traveling, doing ad tech, man. It's hectic, you know?
Yeah, being a parent is way more busier than being a pop star, superstar.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. I mean, taking these dudes to gym, making sure they're going to the park and, you know, being active. It's just like, yeah, I'm very glad that I have learned over the past 25 years how to work from my mobile phone and be very effective. You know, like anything I need to do, I can do it from it. So, you know, that definitely helps.
Hey, let me jump in real quick, Manny. Yeah. Sorry, but and I know this is not like the deepest conversation about fatherhood, but you set something off before we started recording about you just getting a dog and like, I need someone to tell me the real on, because, you know, my son is, you know, he's campaigning hard for the dog, and I'm feeling like, man, it's going to happen, but I also know, but I know it's like, damn, this is going to be like taking care of another person. And I'm probably going to get shouldered with all, you know, he's like, nah, I'm going to do it. I know I'm going to get caught with it all. So tell me how this process is going with you, the dog, and the kids.
Yeah, it's going good, man. You know, I've got two boys, an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. And, you know, I grew up with dogs in my household. But when I bought my house, you know, 12 years ago, I was like, oh, man, it's clean. No dog hair, no dog poop, no cat poop, no any of that stuff. Like, I'm not getting a dog. But then, you know, I got with my girl, we had two kids, and, you know, it's very good for them from a mental well-being standpoint. You know, it gives them some responsibilities, it gives them something to do, and, you know, an animal to play with. I've got a golden doodle. So, you know, she's very smart, you know, very cute and lovable, and she's excellent with the kids. But, you know, the biggest thing you got to look out for is the dog poop, the dog pee, obviously. You know, like, training a puppy is just, it's a nightmare. You know what I mean? Like, I'll come out, and just before I came down here, I've got a decent sized backyard, and she was outside in the backyard for the past 3 hours. So as I come down here to do this, I look in the kitchen and she had just come in the house, and I'm like, why do you have to come in the house and take a piss all over the kitchen? Oh, man. I mean, like, it's just like, so there's that. So, I mean, and let me just warn you in advance, man, I just got new air filters, you know, filters, catch the dander. I just bought a shampoo carpeter, you know, the shampoo carpets. I've got a steam mop to steam hardwood floors. just get those tools and, you know that you're going to have to do the chores. You know what I mean? Because like me, after I clean up poop, I'm like, yo, it's got to be clean, clean. Like I ain't letting no fecal matter sit around.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it immediately gets steamed up and steam mopped up, you know? So, I mean, but other than that, man, you know, knowing she's a puppy, she's going to become potty trained. It's only a phase that she's going through. You know, you just be patient with it. But the kids love her.
How old are your kids?
8 years old and 4 year old. You know,
okay. Because my 3 year old and my 5 year old, she's trying to control the dog we have. We have a Chihuahua. And she puts I'm like, you're going to kill this animal. Because she's like, nah, I want to hold her. And the dog's like paranoid and scared of her. And she'll be like strangling the dog. And I'm like, oh, man, one day I'm going to come and this dog's going to be dead, man. Like I have to watch out for the dog. I'm the dog's bodyguard around the kids.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's the same thing here. You know, the difference, I guess, is that the golden doodles, they get big really fast. So she was a puppy. But I mean, she's already probably at least 40 pounds. You know what I mean? Maybe 50 at this point. So, you know, they grow very fast. So she's actually pulling them around at this point, you know. But yeah, you know, I'm it's the same thing, man. It's like being the dog's parent. Like, I mean, I wake up, I take her out. I take her out almost every hour of the day. The one thing I learned though is man, don't feel bad putting them in the cage. You know what I mean?
No.
You know, like I mean, at first I was like, damn, should I put this dog in the cage? It kind of feels like, you know, putting him in jail. And, you know, I don't have fish around my house because putting a fish in a fish tank seems like animal cruelty to me. You know, like, it's not relaxing watching fish
right
around me, you know. But yeah, the vet was like, yo, nah, put her ass in the cage, you know, otherwise she's gonna chew everything up. Let me tell you, we bought a new couch 2 weeks ago in the sunroom. Put it in the sunroom, got it nice. The first time I could go in my sunroom and relax and all that. And, you know, within 2 days, she had chewed up the side of it. And I'm like, yo, it's like they got magnets in their brain to mess anything up that you like.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if you want to feel less bad, I felt bad about the cage thing too. I got a corral for my dog, but she's a Chihuahua. She can't really jump over it. So I don't know if your dog is a little bit more agile than mine, but I feel better. Like I'm not confining her to a cage. I'm like, all right, here's a corral. And it's got some size on it. And that's where she sleeps every night.
Now, have you been able to get your kids to own some responsibility with, you know, just on some consistency yet? Or is that just, you know, that's
Hero.
In the making.
Yeah, you're on my end too.
None. Their biggest responsibility is playing with her and chasing her around the house.
Right. Or not killing.
Yeah. Okay.
letting her up on the couch when I tell her not to be on the couch. You know, like that's their responsibility. Everything I tell them not to do, they do with her.
So wait, just to take it back a step, how long or was there any like negotiation between you and the kids? And if so, how long did that last?
Nah, not really. The way it came about, it was really negotiation was between me and my girl, my fiance. You know, she had been talking about getting. I wanted a dog a while ago. She wanted a cat, and you know, I don't like cats. You know what I mean? But she got the cat. You know, so we got a cat walking around here. And after a while, you know, with the two boys, it's like the cats aren't responsive to anything, you know, so you can't really teach a child how to be responsible with animals or, you know, to have some kind of responsibility with a cat. You know, it just doesn't happen other than maybe feeding it, not making sure they don't forget to feed her. But yeah, you know, so my son at his school, they have a therapy dog that's there, and the therapy dog's name is Denver. And so, you know, when I saw the dog, I was like, oh my God, I mean, he's like the size of a small horse, but he was so smart. The things that the coach was telling the dog to do, I was just like, yo, this is insane how smart this dog is. So I asked what kind of dog it was, golden doodle. Okay. So every morning I exercise in the morning, and I one part of my exercise routine is I walk about 3 miles in a local park. And, you know, I'm in there on my phone doing some work, just, you know, trying to make sure my cardio is straight. And so as I was coming down the hill, there was a big ass sign that said Golden Doodles for sale. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? Oh, my God. I just like looking at a Golden Doodle, and here are these Golden Doodles are for sale. So I text my girl and I was like, yo, there's Golden Doodles for sale up around the road. You know, what do you want to do? And she was just like, go get it. So that was the negotiation. You know what I mean?
Them golden doodles is falling out the sky.
Then come to find out they're like the most common dog this year or something that people are buying, you know. So, you know, they're like a popular breed this year. But I have to say, you know, it really is impressive how good she is with the kids. I mean, you know, there's been no incidences of I've never seen her growl. I've never seen her snap. Never seen her show her teeth, you know, and, you know, they be rough with her, you know what I mean? And even when they wake her up, you know, it's just like she's a little playful person, you know. So she's good, man. That's the only thing that really keeps me from kicking her ass when she when she pees and poops all over the place. She
takes them dumps.
Oh, man.
They get into everything. Let me just say one last thing about the dog.
Yeah.
Yesterday, everything was all good, right? You know, in and out the house, she's getting the potty training thing down. She didn't pee or poop at all. I came into my office to take a call for 45 minutes. When I came back out, she had thrown up all over the carpet, pooped in the living room and peed. I'm like, yo, a trifecta. What is happening here? And I had somewhere to be at 5. So that's why I was saying, yo, make sure you got all the tools, because I went to Home Depot, bought a new shampooer for the rug. So we're out there shampooing the whole house. Everything is getting like clean, disinfected, like all that. Because, yeah, man, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you got an animal inside the house, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely miss the days of not having any animals in this house.
would you renege? Like, be like, I saw the sign for the Golden Doodle. Let me just keep walking.
I'll hold that to myself. I didn't see it.
Nah, because I can see the kind of joy that she brings to my sons. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't, you know. It's just, you know, the concept of, you know, having a brand new house where like all the floors are crisp and clean and everybody takes their shoes off and, you know, everything is like pristine. Like, that's gone. But, you know, that was gone by the time my first son turned 4, because he would come in and track mud all over the house and spill his milkshake all over the carpet and leave his food everywhere. I mean, you know,
right. Yeah.
My kids, they start destroying everything, you know.
And let's not forget the dog will, you know, dogs lick their ass and then they lick your kids' faces. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's the thing we got going on right now. My daughter puts her face in front of the dog so the dog will lick her face. She's like, oh, she's kissing me. No, she just licked her ass. Like, stop it.
No, I mean, listen, man, I get it, man. Sometimes I come down and the dog is just licking my son's hands. And he's like, Dad, look how much the dog loves me. And I'm like, yo, bro, she's licking whatever food you have on her hands. She don't love me that much. Go wash your hands. You know what I mean?
There's salt on your hands.
Right.
Man, you know, we got hand sanitizer everywhere. You know what
I
mean?
I'm still not convinced, bro. My kids always asking me, and I think I'm going to cave at some point, but man, I'm not ready. Just not ready.
Take your time, man. That's all I say.
You know, I see Manny with a guinea pig.
I've had them joints when I was little, but like any kid, my mom took care of all them joints. And then, funny story, my mom, she got tired because they stink. Them things, after a while, they just smell. So she was like, yo, we went to school. She sent us to school. And then they were all in a cage. It was like 4 or 5 of them joints. She covers the cage, carries the cage to the nearest pet shop before they open and left it at their doorstep.
Oh, shit.
And did.
Wow.
Yeah, my sister's daughter had a guinea pig and she had a slumber party. And the girls that came over took the guinea pig out of the cage and let it loose on the floor. So the guinea pig was missing for, you know, I don't know, 2-3 days. And they finally found the guinea pig somewhere in my mom's crib, you know, gone in heaven. Guess she saw it.
Damn.
At least you can find the dog when they get loose, you know, like guinea pigs and little mice and little rodents. I'm not with that. You know, if I was going to go back and not have a pet at all, I'd probably get them something like a turtle. You know what I mean?
I want to get a turtle for my kids.
Yeah, man.
Yo, so we started talking about like school, and for you, Greg, and for you, E, school starting. Kate, school's not yet starting.
No, it started. Yeah.
I'm the only one. So
middle school started.
School hasn't started for me yet. It starts in September.
Oh, okay. So we're on the same page. You're just prepping.
I'm just prepping, counting the days down.
Got it. So E, I know you were on an emotional roller coaster right now with school starting.
Yeah, man, my daughter started elementary school. It was her first day today.
Oh shit, nice.
Yeah, and it was pretty emotional, man. I didn't think I was gonna get emotional, but I did. And then my son, we wanted to do it all together as a family, where me, my wife, my son on the way to his school, but we all went and dropped off my daughter first, and then he started just bawling, my son, because it was now they're separated, and he's like, I want to, like, when my wife went because she took her to her classroom. We waited in the car. He just started going crazy. And then she took long. And we had did yesterday, we did they had like a little orientation where we met the teacher, saw the classroom. So when my wife went, I'm seeing all the parents coming in and out. I'm like, yo, this is taking a while. All I could imagine is my daughter probably having like a last minute breakdown, even though she seemed like she was all good. But nah, it turned out that it was just some. They had to give my wife a parking pass for our car or whatever, all this stuff. But yeah, man, it was a big day for my daughter, man.
Yeah, man, I got over that pretty quick. You know, my son, he started going to preschool when he was like 3 or 4, right? And they sent him a bus to my house to come get him. So I didn't have to drive him at the time. So that was hard. The first time watching my little buddy get on the bus.
That's got to be crazy.
Watch drive away and waving as he drives off into the sunset. But shit, man, by the time my 4-year-old he started preschool last year. So he started going early from 9 to 1. And I was like, man, get out of here. You know what I mean? I need to find myself, you know. And this year is the first year in 9 years that I'm going to have both of them out of the house from, you know, they got long days. It's like from 8 in the morning. And when they get, by the time the bus drops them all off, it's like 4 o'clock. So I got that whole stretch to myself and I'm just like, oh man, Pornhub is, traffic is about to double.
I remember, so 2 years ago when my youngest finally was doing a full school day, bro, like the amount of relief I felt to have a house to myself for that period of time was like incredible.
It's like you almost don't even know what to do with yourself. I remember when I got home today after dropping both of them off and the house was quiet, I was like, yo, what do I do? There's so much potential right now that you do nothing. You know what I'm saying?
But don't, after a while, you start to feel like, all right, I wish they would get home already, because then you start to miss the nah.
Well, no, today I can't wait to know that her day went well. And since she started today and tomorrow, we're gonna, as like, I don't know, my wife came up with this, let's give him a gift of travel. I'm like, really, bro? Like for 2 days of school? Like, so we're going to Legoland this weekend.
Yo, go start with the participation trophy bullshit in the household, bro. Let them earn some shit.
No, it's my wife, man. My wife is like, just because, you know, she went. I'm like, whatever, we'll do it, man. We'll do it.
But I was gonna say, you know, I don't feel bad about them being there because I can actually use that to say, well, I'm being a responsible parent. My children are in school. Like, yes, right. Go. Get there, do extracurricular activities, like everything. But seriously, you know, I want my children to have a love for going to school. You know, as you all know, you know, our children have a greater risk if they fall out of love with school.
Right.
If they're in the school pipeline, they're going to the prison pipeline, you know? So, you know, I'm the dad that's like, you're in school. School is fun. Yes, it's cool to learn things. I'm at all the PTA meetings. I'm at all the extracurricular things that they have to do. You know, when they have food trucks, meet the parent, I mean, meet the teacher nights, like I'm there for everything. They know me at my son's school. You know what I mean? So I feel what you're saying, Manny, you know, like, you don't get no trophy for doing what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, right. You know, we reward them and all those things too when they do well, but shit, nah, bro, you're going to school.
Yeah, I guess the way that I looked at it, or that I was convinced basically, is that, you know, let's just kind of like make it a whole happy experience that she started elementary school, you know, and we'll do this last little trip before, you know, that's it. The whole year she got, the rest of the year to do what she got to do. But let me ask you guys this. When you started taking your kids to school, because today I found myself, when I dropped her off, just looking around like, all right, how does this active shooter shit go down here? You know what I'm saying? And the thing that fucked me up is that her classroom, when we went yesterday, is like right in the entrance. You make a right and it's the first classroom. I'm like, damn. And I'm thinking, it's the first classroom. I don't like that. You know, her window is right in the front. And then there's the one armed police officer. One, I'm like, this one dude ain't gonna handle business. And I'm sizing him up and I'm looking at everything. I'm a little, you know, I don't know if y'all are thinking like that too.
Did they have what's the school setup? Because I know that like my son's previous two schools, they were in so-so neighborhoods, but luckily the schools were pretty locked down. And so you really, there was kind of one way in, one way out type scenario, and it was gated off, and they did have like active shooter drills and all that kind of stuff. And even his current school, I know they're installing like more stuff to deter people from coming in. And so he just started middle school, and now they're giving them key cards to like move around. So you know, if you don't have a key card, no one's getting in or out of anywhere, you know, so no parents can come rolling up and try to get in or anything. So
yeah, I think about that all the time, man. I mean, quite a bit, you know, especially my four-year-old who's, you know, he's only four. So, you know, he's not going to be, he doesn't know the drills. He doesn't know what my eight-year-old will be nine in October. So he's a little more practiced, you know, they actually practice those things. And down in the school district where I'm at here in Delaware, same thing. They practice all the time. So the school will give you a heads up that, you know, there's active shooter drills going on, you know, once a quarter. So if you see an extra police presence, don't be alarmed. But it, the school I'm at, it's the same. The schools I'm at, same thing. They've got constables that are armed, which also worries me because I'm like, what if the constable snaps? They've got guys that are armed, you know, out around the perimeter of the school all day. Same thing, one way in, one way out, and that one way in is locked. And then some of the classrooms for my 4-year-old have the doors that in the class that roll out. So if there's an active shooter, they can actually, you know, wall off students and keep anybody else from coming in. So yeah, man, I think about that, man. And at the end of the day, it's just like sad because everywhere we go, you know, we're pretty much sitting ducks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. I mean, I kid you not, man. I'm waiting now for a bulletproof vest to come in the mail, a bulletproof shirt that I can wear under my clothes, you know, because I obviously can't wear them in airports and stuff like that. But everywhere else, you know, riding on the train, going back and forth to New York, being in Times Square or inside the train stations, it's just like, if you're not packing heat, you're a sitting duck. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I mean, I don't even know what to think, man. I just pray that, you know, they don't become one of those statistics, man. I mean, what else can you do? You know what I mean? Like, if somebody has it in their mind, even if they don't get into the class, when the kids are going to the bus or when they're riding the bus, I mean, it's just like open season all the time.
Yeah, I mean, when I dropped her off, I'm like, they could have all the protocols once the, you know, class is in session. But right now, this is a vulnerable time, because especially the first couple of days of school when all the parents are coming in, walking in these new kids. I'm like, how do they're not checking people's IDs or making sure the kid goes to the school or whatever. You just seen a random parent walk in. So anything could happen in those moments. And yeah, it's pretty freaky, man. And it sucks that our kids are living in this time and that, you know, and we have to worry about these things.
Well, you know, when I was thinking about that too, when I was coming up, you know, we used to have to sit under the desk because of the nuclear bombs. You know it's what true. I mean?
I tell people the Cold War era was was some other scary shit for a kid. You know what I'm saying? I was always thinking we were going to go to World War III was going to happen.
Right. I mean, you know, so, you know, I mean, that was crazy. And then the high school that I went to, I mean, we had state police in every hallway with dogs because there were shootings inside of the school. You know, there was always fights. There was lots of drugs going around. I mean, all of that was happening. That was the backdrop to the high school that me and my partner went to, you know, and it was a rough school. So, I mean, there were times where I was in classrooms and, you know, there were shootings inside the classroom. I kid you not, that happened, you know. So, I mean, I guess it's all kind of relative, you know, every generation has their challenges, you know.
It seems different, though.
What's different is that people target kids. That's random.
Yeah. There's one thing to be in a school that's violent. My school, we had metal detectors and we had drive-by that happened because gang members were beefing and stuff. But those are people that are beefing.
Right.
Here, this is someone that you don't even know is beefing with you and has beef with everybody.
Yeah, well, within crime, at you know, years ago, there was a certain law or, you know, law and order within that world, right? Or a certain moral set within that. And that's just thrown out the window at this point.
I could come to grips with there being like street shit happening in a school, you know, sort of say, versus just the randomness of this stuff.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, you know, targeting 5-year-olds or 6-year-olds.
Wild.
It's hard to comprehend, you know. It's hard to comprehend what even makes that mentality, you know. But that's why I try to be very careful with my children about the games they play. You know, they're very into Roblox and Minecraft and, you know, these other games. And, you know, Roblox in particular is an interesting game because there's literally a million games inside of Roblox itself.
Yeah, so you got to be careful what they're jumping on.
Some of the games, like one of the games my 9-year-old likes to play is called Bed Wars.
And same. My son, he'll be 11 tomorrow. He's on Bed Wars. And he's to – I give him his credit because, you know, my wife and I were pretty adamant about, like, yo, no first-person shooting games, you know. And then even with Bed Wars, there's some of that action, but he's like, and he'll be playing with his friends, but he knows enough. He's like, hey, Dad, I know I can't use a gun. There's this thing that kind of looks like a grenade launcher. Can I use it?
Like a grenade launcher.
I'll say no. Nah. He's like, but I'm gonna get. I'm not gonna be able to play so good. I'm like, I'm sorry, man.
I bought my son $5 worth of Roblox yesterday, and he bought a rocket launcher with it.
Right.
But the thing is that, you know, the thing that gets me is okay. There's no blood in Roblox, right? Like, so the violence is like, you know, very minimal video game violence. But what concerns me is that fact that having no blood while you're committing acts of violence as a young child could also desensitize you. So, you know, we make sure that we keep the Roblox to a minimal without stagnating his social growth, because like you said, all of their peers, they're all playing these games. And when we were coming up, we played games. I mean, we played Mortal Kombat where people were getting their heads ripped off, and it didn't turn me into a serial killer. But it's interesting, you know, I read an article the other day, the generation of all of our children. Manny, how old are your kids?
I have a 16-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old son, and a 7-year-old daughter.
So your 10-year-old and your 7-year-old, they're part of what's known as Generation Alpha. That's mm-hmm. what their generation is called.
Thank you for telling me, because I've been looking around trying to figure that out, because they've asked me. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm not even too sure which side of the equation I'm on. So yeah. I don't know.
I had a joke for that, but go ahead.
Generation Alpha, these kids are coming up immersed in iPad technology, mobile phones, you know, and they're very different than all of the generations that preceded them, right? So I'm going somewhere with it. So I pull up this article when I was in my hotel room the other day. I don't smoke or drink anymore, right? I used to be a heavy drinker. You know, I had to give it up because I was just, you know, I was going way too hard, man. You know, when we finally make it to Drink Champs, I don't know what I'm going to do. if I start drinking, it's going to be.
No, you good. We just had Special Ed yesterday and all he drank was coconut water.
It could get pretty wild if I start drinking with you and Nori. But so I'm reading this article and I had just smoked, right? So I had to come back to my room because I just got all paranoid for some reason, right? And so I'm reading about Generation Alpha on, I think it was Bloomberg, and it was like, yo, Generation Alpha is very different and they're very good with hoverboards. And so I'm like, yo, you know,
hoverboards.
I'm starting to think like, yo, my 8-year-old and my 4-year-old have been riding. My 4-year-old has been riding a hoverboard since he was like 2-3 years old. So I go through the article and sure enough, this generation, they ride hoverboards like we walk. And I mean, seriously, my kids be out there on their hoverboards while they're on their iPads. They're on the hoverboard. You know, they can eat their food while they're on the hoverboards and they're zipping around. And I was blown away that the things that and they ended the article and it was like, and if you are worried about your Generation Alpha kid, don't worry. They all say skibbity bee bop bop, whatever they say, right? And I'm like, oh shit, you know, I yell at my kids because I'm like, yo, you're on these hoverboards in the house all damn day. And what does skibbity bop bop? What is this?
That's what my daughter says to me all the time.
My son has a friend who started saying that to him and he came back saying, I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, my friend is saying that to me and it's annoying. I'm like, well, why are you saying it? Because you're annoying me now.
I just repeat it back to my daughter and she goes, okay. And she walks away.
Couldn't believe it. I was like, yo, okay, so my kids are normal. It's normal that they're all riding hoverboards. It's normal that they're saying this skibbity bop bop crap. You know, and it just made me realize, like, yo, you know what? You can't let yourself get too old when it comes to the things that they are being immersed in. You kind of have to immerse yourself in it with them and at least try to understand it as best as you can. Because I thought what they were saying was like something very negative that they had seen on YouTube or, you know, that they had picked out of one of their games. That turns out it's just some meaningless nonsense, you know,
some meme shit that they want. Well, some friend says.
you articulate a really good point because like we get caught up in like almost like not punking them, but like treating whatever they're talking about as inferior. Or whack, right?
Right.
And so I stop myself sometimes from like clowning them because my instinct is to be like, yo, that shit is great. Like, what are you talking about? So like dismiss it. But the truth is, like you said, like this is their generation, this is their world, this is how they get down. I'm sure there was a ton of dumb shit or things that seemed dumb to older generations when I was a kid. So I have to have that restraint. And so what I've been doing lately is like just inquiring more and kind of trying to get myself to understand where they're coming from. Even if I think it's whack, I'm not going to project that onto them. I'm just more to be like, yo, all right. So now I'm at least understanding what world they're in. So we could have, I could just like leave it alone versus like get upset every time.
I got to take your advice, man. Cause my son was his friend sent him like a whole reel of memes. Like he was cracking up at it. I thought it was stupid, but funny for the first go around. And then he's like watching him over and over again. And then, you know, later on in the day, like, Dad, which one of those was your favorite? And I'm like, I hated all of them. And I don't like any of them. What do you mean? And it just kept pressing me to like, what's your favorite one? I'm like, I think they're all stupid.
Right? My son watches these on YouTube. It's like a string of memes. I just keep going. And he'll pull me in sometimes and be like, yo, dad, watch. And I'm looking and I'm thinking the same thing. Yeah. And oftentimes I'm letting it out. I'm like, yo, that shit is dumb. Why are you watching this shit?
Right.
And then I look at his face and he's kind of like, oh, like old man type, you know, rolling the eyes.
Right, right. Yeah.
Fucking old guy. Man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later time will pass and then I'll come back and I'll just sit there and just watch it, but be more positive about it. And it changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, when I finally sat down and was like, all right, look, you keep talking to me about Bed Wars. Come on. I want to sit. I want to watch you play. I want to watch what's happening. I want to get into it because I've watched it casually just to make sure it ain't nothing like there's no people trying to talk to them. And, you know, because it's a weird world that they're in, you know, like these are virtual reality games, you know, so there's other people, you know, thousands of other people that are playing these games with him.
Right. With a chat going off and everything. Yep.
Yeah. While he's playing them. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, look, let me just sit down and watch what's happening. And as I started watching, I was like, yo, you know what? This is actually insane that you have learned how to play this game at this level where you're switching out iron ore for you know, right. this and, you know, you need a diamond cutter to mine this. And, you know, I mean, it's just incredible. And when I watch him play Minecraft, you know, I like Minecraft because all he's doing in that is building things, you know, so he's got a love of trains and bridges. And so he was like, hey, let me show you all the bridges that I built. And it's all the bridges that are around us. So the Delaware Memorial Bridge, we got the Chesapeake Bay Bridge near me. And I'm looking at him like, yo, this little dude really built all of these bridges. And they look like the bridges. You know, so there are some positive aspects of these games. But yeah, trying not to be the old dad, getting out of touch. When I sat down and actually was really inquiring with him about what he was doing, he was so happy that I was actually watching him play. And I was like, all right, you know, but I still want him to get his ass outside and play football, you know?
Yeah.
That's a fact. I mean, that's why I'm in this little cave I'm in right now. My son's doing basketball camp at my old high school. So I found a little quiet corner to do the pod before his day was over. But it's vital. Like being able to give them opportunities for them to be outside, even for a little bit, like it makes a big difference.
Definitely. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think the kids being on the YouTube kids rabbit hole, or playing these games you guys are discussing, or which one is better, you think, in your opinion?
The games, Roblox, Minecraft, YouTube, for my kids. Even my four-year-old, YouTube Kids, they're over that. They're not watching YouTube Kids. They don't want to see Peppa Pig no more. You know what I mean? They don't want to see any of that. They want YouTube. And the problem with YouTube is that there are channels. One, Lututu, for instance, right? Lututu. Watch out for it. Because they make the Roblox characters, and it's all the Roblox characters or all characters you might see in Minecraft, but they put them in adult situations. So like, you know, one character is in the house and then there's a home invasion and the robbers come in and kill the mom. Then the mom's in heaven and they're all at the grave. And I mean, it's just like mind warping. And I'm like, who the hell is making this? And the problem is my kids will start out watching something that's normal Roblox.
Go into that, right.
Just keeps going, devolving and devolving. YouTube is really bad for kids, man. Really is.
We had to pull them off YouTube because we blocked a couple channels on YouTube Kids, and then they figured out that they could watch it on YouTube, and now we're like, you know, banning them from YouTube, which is like some of these little reality show type families. Like there's one called Gianna and something. It's like
Gianna, Kim.
Yeah, and these I don't know, but the lessons that they're teaching these kids are terrible. Like, I don't know what's going on here. And we're like, nah, you can't watch it. And then they'll find another sibling reality thing. No, you can't watch that one either. Like
Roma and Diana.
That's the one. That's the one. Roma and Diana.
They're Russians, right?
We had to stop that, man. Cause this kid has, the girl has everything. And then, we're like, nah, yo, what kind of a lesson is this?
100 million followers. Like,
yeah.
Like their channels have that many people subscribed to them. you know, and I'm just like, this is insane. Yeah,
something's wrong there. Like, how do they even, like, how much time in the day to make all that content for those kids? They're workhorses, those little kids.
Yeah, they're workhorses.
That's just wild, man. That shit can't be right. Like, I don't, you know, I don't know.
My sons were really into Ryan at one point. Ryan's World is all right.
Ryan's World is all right.
But yeah, I mean, Ryan be working, you know, but when you see the amount of money they made, like Ryan last year, maybe the year before, he made $44 million. Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
And now the twins.
Yeah, now they've got kids, and then they've got stuff in Walmart, and you know, like.
But you see, I have a conspiracy. I'm like, man, are they having these kids? And it's because Ryan's getting older, and he looks awkward as he's getting older. So now they got the kids. Now the twins look cute. I don't know, man. I get it. Like, I think it's pretty innocent that, you know, they kind of fall into making money doing this stuff. But after a while, there's something wrong there. You know, there's something weird about like all these kids being put in front of the camera to generate all this income. I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to end up in a good place in the near future for all these kids and what it's inspiring.
It's like child actors, right? Like parents pushing them into Hollywood and that kind of thing. And then they grow up and a lot of them, unfortunately, don't do too well in life. So it kind of feels like that.
He went through a phase where he was like, I want to be a YouTube influencer. And I'm like, nah, bro. We're not even going down that road. You're going to be an engineer. I hate to sound like an old man now. You're going to be an engineer, a doctor. But like, you know, you're only nine. Like, look, the odds of you making it big as a YouTube influencer. I mean, you don't even really know what's going into that. The child isn't becoming a YouTube influencer on his own. There's a team of people shooting the content, editing it, putting the graphics around it. I mean, y'all know what goes into making a video and editing it and putting it up. You know what I mean? And it's nothing that a 9-year-old or an 8-year-old is going to do, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you, man. I was just like, I look at some of those channels and then they're just annoying. Like, I'm like, yo, why is this video so much louder than everything else? You know, and y'all's video comes on and it's at 50 and it's all screaming and no talking and like there's not even any words half the time. Right. It's just sounds. I'm like, no, man, listen, y'all get down in here. We're about to read Goodnight Moon for the 100th time.
The only thing that makes me proud of my son is that he likes to watch the videos that have all the little toy cars and stuff. And then it'll inspire him and he'll go and play with his toy cars and toy trains and stuff like that. So I'm not mad at that.
Have you seen the hamster video?
Those are dope.
Those are dope, right? I'm like, yo, how in the world? How long did it take for these hamsters to do this? You know what I mean? For them to put this together where the hamster goes through this whole maze and then they're videotaping it to top it all off. Like, it's
Manny, we good? Did we lose anything?
My computer just blipped, so I think we might have lost a little bit, but it's okay. We'll tweak it in the edit.
All right, you recording again?
Yeah, it's back on.
Okay.
Sorry about that. the good old technological bullshit. We should probably cut it now because I have to go pick up my kid. Greg, this never works well because a 45 minutes is never enough to like really jump in, but we appreciate you at least sharing some of your recent events, particularly with the pets and like school and just some of the concerns you have as a dad. But before we jump, one piece of sound advice you have for somebody that is either a new father or about to be.
Patience is the key. Patience with everything. You know, it's hard transition into being responsible for having a new life that you are responsible for. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the child crying at night, you know, changing diapers, diaper runs, feeding, you know, all of the things that come along with, you know, raising a brand new life. The best advice I can have is learn to physically and be cognizant on practicing patience. You know, it just makes everything, it makes everything go easier. You know, I mean, we're all going to have moments where we lose our temper, but, you know, being very patient with your child throughout all stages of their life is just important. Having children has taught me how to be very patient.
Dope. I agree 100%. All right, gang, it's a wrap. Catch you next week. Thank you, Greg.
Thank
you.
Peace.
Yo, be a father. If not, why bother, son? A boy can make him, but a man can raise one. Be a father to your child. Be a father to your child.